Ford drives out of the junkyard.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace Podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. When you're a big American company and you want to grow, you need a decent credit rating. An investment grade rating, as it's called on Wall Street, will give creditors more confidence that if they lend you money, you'll eventually pay them back. Well, Ford just got its junk rating upgraded to investment grade by the rating agency Moody's just a month after Fitch did the same thing. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports on what this means for Ford.
As Moody's sees it, Ford is financially disciplined, and it sells lots of cars in North America. 6 years ago, the automaker lost billions when SUV sales hit the brakes. It borrowed $23 billion to restructure, and as collateral, put up its factories and its famous trademark, that royal blue oval with Ford written in cursive. Since then, it has shed brands and workers, cut a stingier deal with labor, and once again can reclaim the rights to the blue oval. Jody Lurie at Janney Montgomery Scott figures Ford will take its fancy new credit rating and drive up to the bank.
So one thing that we're going to expect from management is they'll definitely take this as an opportunity to refinance their debt as well as repay a lot of the debt that's outstanding.
And Ford should attract new investors.
If you have your mom and pops and they want more of a sure thing to put their money, they'll see Ford as that option.
GM and Chrysler still in the junk bond heap. Ford does have more work to do. It's highly exposed to a weak European market, and it needs to turn east and pick up more Asian drivers anxious to buy. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Today, Hewlett-Packard is expected to announce major layoffs. The troubled tech company could cut as many as 30,000 employees, according to reports. And since we're talking about tech jobs, that means there's likely to be a flood of highly educated and skilled workers coming into the job market at the same time. Our senior business correspondent Bob Moon reports.
The government reports mass layoffs claimed the jobs of close to 200,000 American workers in the first 3 months of this year. So it's hard to put a positive spin on up to 30,000 more people expected to get pink slips at Hewlett-Packard. Still, job placement expert John Challenger says at least they're likely to be in a better position than lots of others.
Many of the people coming out of HP will be scooped up by other companies.
That's because in technology, job growth overall is looking up.
Companies today continue to build their IT departments, social media, smartphone app development. There are some very strong areas, and those people with skills that can be utilized by those companies will be in more demand.
Challenger says the job search won't be as easy for HP workers laid off for more general support jobs, sales, human resources, and finance, for example. But even in their case, the name recognition can't hurt.
Over time, the experience of working for a company like HP should really make a difference. It's like going to a good school.
Which might help make it faster to get through the school of hard knocks. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower in global trading this morning, down 2% in Tokyo and just shy of 1.5% across Europe right now, as leaders gather in Brussels for yet another summit on the European debt crisis. This one coming amid more talk that Greece may have to leave the euro. Here in this country, shares of Chipotle Mexican Grill dropped yesterday after the company announced that federal prosecutors are investigating Chipotle's compliance with immigration laws in its hiring practices. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost just 1 point to close at 12,502.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
So I know summer doesn't officially start for another month, but with Memorial Day coming up on Monday, we have reached the unofficial start of summer, which means a lot of kids are going to have a lot of free time on their hands. So what's the best use of that time? LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus joins us now with some answers. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, what should the goal be, David, when parents are trying to figure out what to do with their kids for the summer?
Good, honest factory work, I think, is the answer here. But barring that, no, I think some kind of summer camp is usually a good idea, and preferably one that will play to their interests, that will promote those interests, and give them something over the summer that's going to go just beyond sitting in front of the Xbox playing Modern Warfare 3 until their eyes bleed.
But those camps can get pretty expensive, right?
They can indeed. In fact, overnight camps can cost as much as $780 on average per week. Hmm. Day camps can cost as much as $275 on average again per week, but a lot of the costs can go much higher. For instance, in Southern California and on the East Coast, those average costs can go way higher.
Well, so if you are looking around for a camp, any ideas of where one might turn at this point?
Oftentimes, word of mouth is going to be your best bet. You want to find out what your neighbors are doing, what your friends' parents are thinking. Otherwise, I suggest that people go to the website of the American Camp Association, which is kind of the industry overseer. They set the standards for this. Also, it's not a bad idea to have any camp your kid goes to be accredited by these guys because they are the standard bearer.
What if you want to have your kid work for some money? Maybe not at a factory, but perhaps at an ice cream store or something like that.
And that's a great idea. When I was younger, I had summer jobs. Summer jobs are great. They teach values. They bring in a little bit of coin. Unfortunately, with the unemployment rate the way it is right now, teens are being affected disproportionately more than other segments of the population, and there's not a lot of summer jobs to go around.
David, you've got a 10-year-old son yourself. What are you going to do with him?
Aside from the factory work?
Yes.
Okay. We like to vary it a little bit. So he might go to sports camp for a week or two. He might go to computer camp for a week or two. And I'm a big believer as well in keeping the learning going because our schools, they just keep cutting back and cutting back. So we'll do reading lists and things over the summer. And even though my son might whine and mope about it, it's a good thing.
LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And finally, to Tokyo, where 8,000 visitors lined up yesterday to take in the views from the observation deck at the grand opening of the world's tallest tower. The Tokyo Skytree is 2,080 feet tall. Some people reportedly waited in line for a week to be the first to take in the panoramic views from the top of the Skytree. But alas, it was cloudy. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.